Dragnet.
The Jack Benny Program.
I'm that man. Matt Dillon, United States Marshal.
George Burns and Gracie Allen.
Good evening, friends of the Inner Sanctum.
We offer you Escape.
Our Miss Brooks.
Suspense.
Richard Diamond, Private Detective.
Fibber McGee and Molly.
The Great Gildersleeve.
Yes. Radio Theater.
In the air.
Dedicated to man's imagination, the theater of the mind.
You know what our call letters WGN stand for, don't you?
WGN Radio Theater.
The special three-hour presentation.
With Carl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
All righty, it is about 8 minutes after 11 p.m. here on the WGN Radio Theater Program 243 in the series. This is December 17th, 2017, and right in front of me is the very talented and very, very handsome. Because I'm always saying how vivacious Lisa is. I don't want you to think that I don't think you're handsome.
That's okay. I don't need the compliments.
You are very, very handsome. And we have our very wonderful and beautiful producer, Shante Garth, in the booth. And it's almost Christmas time.
Yes, it is.
We're playing Christmas shows all the way to 2 a.m. And we have Fibber McGee and Molly for you from 1942. You're going to love it. Then we have Escape, a great episode from 1950, and then it's the Damon Runyon Theater from 1948. It's all brought to you by Cat's Pride.
It's time for Celebrity Scoop, brought to you by Cat's Pride. Meow.
This actor stars in the upcoming film Night School, about a group of troublemakers who are forced to attend night school in the hopes they will pass the GED exam and finish high school.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Sounds like a comedy, probably, right?
Probably, maybe.
Yeah, I'm guessing so. What do they win? Do they win a MyPillow?
Yeah, a MyPillow.
Wow, a MyPillow.
Guaranteed
Good
the most
price.
Comfortable pillow you'll ever own.
All right. The number to call is 312-981-7200. Call now. Here's a hint. This actor played Darnell in Get Hard.
The key to surviving is to not freak out.
All right, who is that funny actor? 312-981-7200. We'll find our winner after these words.
This is the WGN Radio Theater, and we're playing Celebrity Scoop. Let's hear the clip one more time.
The key to surviving is to not freak out.
And we have Glenn on the line. Hi, Glenn.
Hey, how are you guys?
We're doing
good.
Well.
Thanks, Glenn.
Who is that actor?
Kevin Hart.
That's absolutely correct. You have won a MyPillow, guaranteed the most comfortable pillow you'll ever own. Visit MyPillow.com.
Way to go, Glenn. Thanks very much, and Merry Christmas to you.
You too. Merry Christmas, everybody.
Thanks, my friend.
Thank you.
Well, Lisa is in Florida, Mike. She's
Sounds about
enjoying
right.
80-plus degree weather while we freeze. Although it wasn't too bad today.
No.
It's like, you know, 30s or something like that. Late,
yeah.
Maybe even up to 40
yeah.
today. So, but Lisa's with her whole family. She's in Florida, and she's enjoying the great weather. And I think she's listening to the show. She's probably listening on her computer. Hi, Lisa.
Hello, Lisa.
Hi, everyone, the whole Wolf family and the Metanke family. Hi, everybody out there. We're going to start things off with Fibber McGee and Molly, one of the best and most beloved comedy shows of the golden age of radio. Started way back in 1935, lasted until 1959. And the two stars, Jim and Marion Jordan, were a married couple in real life. And this series was co-created by Don Quinn. And the couple of Fibber McGee and Molly, they lived at 79 Wistful Vista in Wistful Vista, USA. And all of their neighbors, were, for some reason, would stop by, knock on the door, ring the doorbell, come in and talk, chat with Fibber McGee and Molly. There was always some kind of a situation. Fibber was always trying to get rich quick, but lots of fun. It was sponsored for most of its run by Johnson's Wax, and Harlow Wilcox was the announcer, was heard on NBC the entire run. There were two spinoffs. Can you name both spinoffs of this show?
The Great Gildersleeve.
That's right. That is absolutely right. The Great Gildersleeve was one. There was one other one. Do you know? Can
Not
you think
sure
about it?
I know.
Well, they had a maid. Her name was Beulah. And Beulah was so popular on the show that character was spun off into its own radio series, The Beulah Show.
Ah.
Those were the two. All right. Well, we have a good Christmas show for you now. From December 22nd, 1942, they're listening to Christmas carols. Here's part one of Fibber, McGee, and Molly.
The Johnson Wax Program with Fibber, McGee, and Molly. The makers of Johnson's Wax and Johnson's Self-Polishing Glow Coat present Fibber, McGee, and Molly, written by Don Quinn, with music by Billy Mills Orchestra, and featuring tonight a very special musical score written by Ken Darby, arranger and director of the King's Men. And the show opens with Who? Instrument like a thermometer for measuring increased activity and hustle and bustle around the house, it would certainly kick over the traces in this week before Christmas. What with shopping and cooking and tree trimming and being an air raid warden besides, there's certainly lots to be done. But in spite of how busy you are, you still want your home to look its best for the holidays. Have you ever stopped to think how useful wax is at such a time? Truth is, if your floors, furniture, and woodwork have been regularly protected with genuine Johnson's wax, that special holiday cleaning can be done in short order. A quick dusting and polishing, a touch-up with wax where needed, and your rooms are glowing with mellow beauty, ready for the visits of your family and friends. For over 50 years, Johnson's Wax has helped brighten homes at the Christmas season. A couple of nights before Christmas, and all through the house at 79 Wistful Vista, not a creature was stirring, except Fibber, McGee, and Molly.
McGee, I don't like to seem repetitious, but hadn't you better get your Christmas shopping done?
Oh, Christmas shopping, Christmas shopping, Christmas shopping. Every year the same thing. Makes me sick.
Yes, I know, dearie. We go through this every year.
What do you mean?
You howl and scowl, and then the day before Christmas, the spirit hits you like a baseball bat. And you do everything but grow a beard and climb down chimneys.
Well, gee whiz, Christmas is getting too commercial. It's getting so...
Sure, sure. We ought to have rubber stamps made for this whole conversation.
What you mean again?
Well, every year you say Christmas is getting too commercial, and every year I have to scold you for spending too much.
Who, me? Ha, ha, ha. I just spend what I have to get by, that's all. I go along with the mob. It ain't any beautiful Yuletide thoughts with me, baby.
Oh, go on.
No tinsel snow gets in my eyes. If I spend any dough, it's just because it's the easiest way out.
Now, listen, McGee, you're a fraud. You're a phony. Why? You're so scared somebody will find out you're sentimental, you act like a dead-end kid.
Sentimental, my clavicle. The whole thing is a lot of tapioca. I wouldn't give a half-hearted hoot and hat and sack if I never saw what you got there.
This is the mail that came this morning. It's mostly just Christmas cards.
Let me see them.
You wouldn't be interested. They're just the same old Christmas malarkey.
What do you mean, malarkey? Don't you realize people have gone to a lot of time and trouble to... Was there any other mail?
Just a couple of bills. Incidentally, what's this item on the Bonton bill for one Mama doll, $8.50?
Mama doll?
Now, listen, don't try to look so innocent. Not that I mind your playing with dolls, if they're made out of plaster. But you certainly didn't buy this one for me, did you?
No, I bought that for the little girl across the street.
Oh, I think that's very sweet.
It was not sweet. I'm giving it to the little pest as a bribe to stay out of my life.
It's strange how much she annoys you, isn't it?
I never saw such a little nuisance. Always butting in where she ain't wanted.
I know. You hate her so much that last year you gave her a $2 Valentine. You gave her a white rabbit for Easter.
Well, I...
Took her to the circus twice. Spent 3 days fixing her tricycle, and you did card tricks through her bedroom window when she had the mumps.
Well, that don't mean I like her, does it?
Doesn't it?
No. That was an old Valentine that had been kicking around here for years. I gave her that rabbit because I thought it would annoy her old man. I fixed her tricycle so she could go someplace else besides around here. And I took her to the circus because they always give kids better seats than they do grown-ups, and I was taking advantage of her helpless condition to practice my car tricks. And she never caught on. Thought I was doing it all for her.
Come off it, dear. You're not fooling anybody.
I ain't trying to fool anybody. All I'm saying is that Christmas has lost its meaning. It's got so people don't...
Come in.
Hello, Mom. Hiya, Skimp. Well, if it ain't Billy Mills, the poor man's Toscanini.
Hello, Mr. Mills.
Come on in, William, my boy. Hang your hat on a hickory limb and don't go near the piano. What's confusing with the music, kid?
Just docked in to wish you a Merry Christmas.
Ah, Merry Christmas, blah. What's merry about it? Walk your wedgies off in the slush to find a lot of junk for a few mugs that won't appreciate it. Hanging a ton of gewgaws on a pine tree that look better in the woods. Scratch your hands all up on a handful of holly to hang in the window so you can stick yourself in the eye with it when you look out to watch the mailman breaking his back with a sack full of silly Christmas cards. Merry Christmas, blah.
And a Happy New Year.
Well, thank you, Mr. Mills. The same to you. And don't pay any attention to McGee. You know, he goes through this act every year. He's got those don't wrap up that packet, Christmas is just a racket blues.
Ah, don't worry, Mom. I can read him like a book.
What kind of a book?
He's a mystery. A very novel character.
Fine type, too. One of the lower cases.
Somebody ought to borrow him and not bring him back.
Maybe we could arrange with the Book of the Month Club to offer him as a special premium.
Oh, cut it out. Cut it out. Lay off, will you? Even if the rib was as prime as you think, this is a meatless day.
Ever play the bagpipes, Alfred?
And don't call me Alfred.
Okay, Joe, ever play the bagpipes?
I don't think he ever did, Mr. Mills. Do you think he could?
Sure, got a head start. Big bag of wind. All he needs is a flute. Well, gotta be going. Merry Christmas again.
Well, same to you, Oskaloosa Sousa. What's all the rush?
Oh, I got to drop in and see my mother-in-law. She's AWOL.
Oh, you mean absent without leave?
No, a welder out at Lockheed. Fine.
Isn't he a wonderful band leader, McGee?
Ah, band leader, my clavicle. I think all of them are just a bunch of fakers myself. You ever see a musician looking at the leader? No. They don't know whether he's beating out a march, a polka, a waltz, or just swatting flies.
Well, then what keeps them together?
That check at the end of the week. Confidentially, one of them guys told...
Oh, I wonder who that could be.
Ah, probably somebody else coming in to wish us a Merry Christmas when all they really want to see is if you ever got those new curtains for the dining room.
Well, I didn't, and the same to them. Come in.
Hi, mister.
Uh-oh. Now, this is all I needed today. Sis, why don't you take your little sled and go out on the pond in the park?
Oh, there isn't any ice on it, mister.
Yes, I know.
Hey, don't be like that. You were young once yourself, you know.
Well, I wasn't that young this long.
Be very tactful with him today, little girl. You know, his Christmas spirit is later than usual this year.
Well, doggone it, the whole thing is a very foolish arrangement.
Why, mister?
Why, the idea of having Christmas come right in the middle of the holidays. The new... Right when everybody is their busiest. It's ridiculous.
Look, mister, I got business to see you about.
Oh, yeah?
Do you like to hear children sing Christmas carols? Hmm?
Oh, sis, there's nothing I love more than to have a little group of childish voices stand outside my window and blat their melodious little brains. Particularly if I ain't home that night.
Oh, gee, mister, I got my whole gang outside, and they're awful anxious to sing you a Christmas carol, and I told them...
Well, I don't like to hear Christmas carols butchered by a bunch of kids. How can anybody sing good standing hip-deep in a snowdrift with a muffler over their face, wondering how many fingers and toes they'll have left when they get home, if they ever do?
Oh, maybe you're still mad on account of last year. Are you, mister? Are you, hmm?
No, I'm not. That has nothing to do with it.
What's this? What happened last year that I don't know about?
Oh, nothing. She's
well,
just...
us kids were going around singing Christmas carols.
Now, never mind, sis. That's ancient
and
history.
And Mr. McGee came
now,
out...
Never mind. Now, never mind. Give the kid a cookie, Molly. I imagine she's kind of hungry. Hey, sis?
Oh, gee, thanks, mister. Anyway, Mr. McGee came out while we were...
Sis, I told you nobody was interested. Now, let's just drop the whole subject. What kind of a cookie you want?
Any kind, thanks. And a a glass of milk.
Well, I'll see if I can.
Now, listen, what happened with the Christmas carols, dear?
And Mr. McGee came running out of the house.
Now, you cut that out.
And he wanted to sing with us, only when we heard him sing, we didn't want him to, and he followed us all over town.
No.
And, gee, we couldn't get rid of him, and he kept trying to sing, and people threw things at us, and, oh, it was awful. Prince tried to slip her on Cinderella's foot. It fit just dandy. And he said, gee, kid, you're cute. How'd you like to be a princess? And she said, oh, boy, and write testimonials for cold cream. And they got married and lived happy ever after. You want to hear another one, Mr. Hall? Once upon a time.
No. That's enough, sis. Thanks anyway. You told me at least 14 of them.
Are you sure you don't want to hear any more?
I'm positive, sis.
Okay, then get off my lap.
Well, heavenly days, McGee, what are you trying to do, crush the child?
Nah, she wanted to pretend I was her little boy and tell me some stories. Now I know why they call them Grimm's Fairy Tales. That's the grimmest half hour I ever spent in my life.
Was fun.
Oh, you did. Well, personally, I'd rather lie down with a good book under my head and go to sleep.
Can't you two think up any more games to play?
I bet you I don't want to be fun, I bet you.
What, sis?
Well, I could bring my little playmates in and we could sing you some Christmas carols. They must be pretty cool out there.
I don't want to hear any Christmas carols. Christmas carols are beautiful music. And to hear your little mob of half-pint hepcats slaughter them would ruin my day. The very thought of those kindergarten contraltos drives me to drink. Get me some root beer, will you, Molly?
Yeah, me too. Hey, mister, let's play star, shall we? Hmm?
How do you play that?
Well, first you give me, maybe about $3 and change, huh?
Give you $3? Hey, what is this? First you eat 2 dozen cookies and then you want to borrow $3. You trying to put the bite on the hand that feeds you?
Oh, gee, it's lots of fun, mister. First, we post a lot of ceilings.
I don't want to buy a ceiling. We got one.
This is different, mister.
Hmm?
Us storekeepers have got to post ceiling prices so people won't have to pay too much for stuff, and it keeps the cost of living down a reasonable level, and the prices won't go pig wild.
Oh. Hog wild.
You know your own habits best, mister.
All right, that's the first portion of Fibber McGee and Molly from December 22nd, 1942. We'll get back to Jim and Marion Jordan in just a few minutes. First, these words.
Back to WGN Radio Theater with Earl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
I want to thank all our listeners for tuning us in every Saturday and Sunday night from 11 p.m. until 2 a.m., where we play all your favorite classic radio shows on this, the greatest station in the world, Radio 720 WGN. And Mike Estella, our executive producer, is pinch hitting for Lisa Wolf, who's in Florida for the next couple of weeks with her family. I hope she's having a great time. And Mike is the genius behind the quality of these shows, because he starts with the original 16-inch transcription discs, does a lab transfer, and then what do you do to it, Mike?
And then I dump it into the computer, and I work some magic.
You give it a lot of love, right?
I do.
Take out the clicks and the pops and make it all sound good and even it all out, right?
Yeah.
It's Mike's a technical genius, no G. He's a genius.
A genius?
Yeah, you're a genius.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah, he's very good. He's been doing this for a while. You probably hear these classic radio shows in your sleep by now, right, Mike?
Yeah, some of them, perhaps.
You wake up like, suspense, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Agnes Moorhead's after me, right?
Nightmares.
there's nothing like these classic radio shows, though, right?
Yeah, I like listening to them and then thinking of maybe like current TV shows that...
Are they similar to?
Yeah,
right?
Exactly.
Well, a lot, some of the things you see on TV now are directly, to these shows. I mean, there's a direct correlation to these shows.
Right.
What I love about the classic radio shows more than anything is that if you're with a bunch of people listening to the shows and you see the pictures in your mind, it's different than what the next person's saying, but yet everybody's right. Your imagination is your imagination, and how you see Fibber McGee and Molly is probably different than how I see them. And like the little girl Teeny that's talking here, we had a listener text in and say, who plays Teeny? Well, that's Marion Jordan, who plays Molly. She just does a kid's voice there. All right, so it's an adult playing this little kid role. But that's
actually fairly common, right? There's a lot of adults who are playing kids roles in these shows.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you know, it's tough to get kids to play these parts, so they would have adults that could do the voices really well. But there were some kids, you know, that played the parts. But then there was someone by the name of Walter Tetley and Dick Beals, two guys that were adults that their voices did not change. I think Dick Beals was a little person, you know, and he, that's what I guess you would say. His voice just didn't change throughout his whole life. So he sounded like a young kid. And he was in these shows. And I believe he is in The Cave, which is coming up next on Escape. He plays a 10-year-old boy in that. And he's probably 30 years old when he was doing it.
Nice.
And Marion Jordan on this sounds just like a little girl.
Right.
Right. All right, let's get back to it. Here's the conclusion now to Fibber McGee and Molly.
Getting out of hand for the merchandise that's getting scarce, so after the war we won't have inflation, you see.
Hey, aren't you getting a little out of your depth, sis? What do you know about economics?
Oh, my daddy told me.
Oh, I see.
Yeah. We had a little heart-to-heart talk last night, he and I.
Oh, I
see. Yeah, he says, I'm at the age where I ought to know certain things.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
like not paying 10 cents for a lollipop that's worth only 5 because then I'm bidding against somebody that can only pay 5 cents for a lollipop besides spend an extra nickel, it ought to go toward a war bond, which will help pay for the war and give me a nest chicken afterwards.
You mean a nest egg?
By that time, it ought to be a chicken.
Well, be that as it may or may not be or not, sis, we won't play store. I got a better game.
What, mister?
Scanoopy. Did you ever play Scanoopy?
What on earth is Scanoopy,
mister? Oh, it's a wonderful game.
How do we play it, mister?
Well, it's like this. You run home, hide in the closet, and put your hands over your eyes and count up to 79 million.
Oh, and then what?
Now, by that time, we'll both be so old, we'll have forgotten what we started out to play. Which is the object of the whole game. Now, I'll get your hat and coat, and you...
Hello, folks. Merry Christmas. Oh, hello, little girl.
Hi, Mr. Wilcox. Hi. What did you say?
I haven't got time to stop and talk. Just wanted to leave this little Christmas gift for Molly.
Well, heavenly days, Mr. Wilcox. You shouldn't have done
it. Oh, it isn't very much. And don't open it before Christmas. But I think it's something you'll like.
I got one for you, too, Junior, but it ain't wrapped up yet.
Oh, that's okay, pal, anytime. Remember, Molly, don't open that package before Christmas, because I want you to be surprised.
I promise, Mr. Wilcox. My, it's wrapped beautifully.
I wrapped it myself, especially for you.
Shake it, Molly, and see if it rattles.
I bet you that wouldn't be fair, I bet you.
Of course it wouldn't. I want it to be a surprise. You just put it away till Christmas.
Oh, I think I'm going to love it, Mr. Wilcox.
I know you'll love it, because millions of other housewives do, because it's so easy to apply and shines as it dries. Your beautiful mirror-like polish in 20 minutes or less, and saves hours of housework, to say nothing of eliminating old-fashioned floor scrubbing. And boy, what it does for the looks of your kitchen linoleum is amazing. But I won't say any more, or I might give you a hint. Merry Christmas, all of you!
Hey, sis, ain't it about time your mother ought to be worrying about why you don't come home?
No.
Huh?
Hmm?
Look, I've been very patient with you today. Now, why don't you do something for me?
Okay, mister.
Fine. Now, come back maybe tomorrow, and I'll have a surprise for you.
I got a surprise for you, too, mister. I got some little friends outside who are waiting to sing your Christmas
carols. How many times I got to tell you I don't like kids singing Christmas carols? I don't want to hear any.
I'll get it, dearie.
Well, if it's this little girl's mother, Molly, tell her yes. She'll be right home, I hope.
79 Wistful Vista, Molly McGee speaking. Long distance. Yes, I'll hold the phone. Yes, Oh, is that you, Myrtle?
Hey. That's no fair.
How's every little thing, Myrtle?
Well, what do you mean?
It is, huh? Who, Myrtle? Your brother?
I hope it ain't funny.
Went fishing through the ice, huh? Well, isn't he the lucky one?
What'd he get, Molly?
The cherry out of his planter's punch. What'd you say, Myrtle? Yes, I'm ready. Hello? Well, for goodness sakes, you're the last person in the world. What? Yes, he's fine.
Who is it? Who's
fine? Oh, yes, indeed. We'd love to see you. Yes, do. And plan on having dinner with
us. Hey, wait a minute.
Oh, we'll be delighted. Well, thanks for calling, and we'll be expecting you next week.
Next?
Goodbye, Mr. Gildersleeve.
Gildersleeve?
Mm-hmm. I remember him, I bet you. He's the man who always laughs with his stomach.
Yeah. Yeah, speaking in the vernacular, we call that a belly
McGee.
Laugh. Huh?
Never mind. Mr. Gildersleeve says he's coming to visit us next week, and he'll be here for dinner.
Boy, ain't it wonderful and strange what some guys will do to get the extra pat of butter these days. But I'll be kind of glad to see the old flimp at that.
Oh, dear, come in.
Oh, gee, it's Mrs. Uppington. Hi, Miss Uppington.
Well, hello, little girl. And good afternoon, Mrs. McGee and Mr. McGee.
Hello, Abigail.
Hi, Uppy. Won't you wiggle out of the minks and drape the frame on an orange crate for a spell?
Oh, thank you, no, Mr. McGee. I just dropped by to wish you both a very, very Merry Christmas.
Well, thank you, Abigail. The same to you. And take that sour look off your face, McGee.
Well, doggone it,
I guess he doesn't like Christmas very much, Miss Uppington.
Well, is it my fault that Christmas ain't what it used to be? It's too commercial. My gosh.
Oh, McGee. He doesn't mean a word of it, Abigail. He's just an old softy who's afraid somebody will find out about it.
I've never known such a thing.
You are, too, I bet you. You gave me $10 on account of there's some little orphans in school who won't have any
You Christmas. Keep out of this, sis.
Okay.
You don't have to hurry away, do you, Abigail? I was just going to make a pot of tea.
Oh, no, I can't stay, my dear. You know, I still have 2 days' work as Santa Claus at 14th and Oak Street. Oh, my, it's been such fun, really. Quite an experience.
That costume and the beard really fools them, eh,
Effie? Oh, they really do, Mr. McGee. I've been a Santa Claus for 2 weeks now, and I've been given 23 cigars, 7 hot tips on the races, and business cards from 2 coffee leggers. Oh, well, it's been a rich experience. I feel younger every day. And as Mr. McGee will probably say after I leave, no one can stand it better than I. Well, Merry Christmas, all.
Are you really going to say that, mister?
No, and she might have given me a handful of them cigars people have been giving
oh,
her.
Oh, McGee,
well,
there's plenty of cigars in your humidor.
Okay, but if she wasn't so stingy, she might have
offered me. Why won't he let me and my friend sing a Christmas carol? Why won't he, Miss McGee?
Well, frankly, dearie, he'd love it. But he knows himself too well. When he hears those Christmas songs, he goes all mushy inside. Now, look, you pretend he's hurt your feelings and make believe you're going home.
Hey, I hope somebody gives me a box of cigars for Christmas because I only... Hey, what goes on here? What are you two whispering about?
She says I better go home, mister.
Huh?
She says you're mad at me because I want to have the kids sing a Christmas carol for
you. Oh, now, I ain't mad exactly, sis.
I bet you are.
Well.
And, gee, the kids have been out there in that cold all afternoon on account of
the... Now, none of that, sis. Now, cut it out. The only reason I didn't want them to sing is... Well, gee whiz.
Well, it's okay, mister. I know how you feel. Thanks for the cookies and thanks...
Hey, don't rush away like this, sis. My gosh. I'll listen to your old Christmas carol if it means that much.
No.
I just thought...
No, you don't like them.
I do, too, like them. I only
you
thought...
You don't either like them.
I do, too.
You don't.
I do so.
No.
Yes.
No.
Now, look, sis. Here. Take my handkerchief and wipe your nose.
Thanks.
Now bring in your half-pint glee club and let them do their worst, which I imagine is pretty bad.
Oh, they're not bad. They're wonderful.
Okay, so they're terrific. Bring them in.
All righty. Hey, Kenny, Granny, Johnny, buddy, come on in.
My, my. Well, what handsome little fellas. Hello, boys.
Hello, Mrs. McGee.
What you gonna give us, kids?
The night before Christmas. And, gee, we rehearsed it like 60. Are you ready, kids?
I'm ready, sis. No, wait a minute. Hey, Molly.
What's the matter, McGee?
Here, take my money and my watch. You know me. Every time I hear these things, I want to give away everything I own.
Before Christmas and all through the house, not a creature was stirring, not even a mouse. The stockings were hung by the chimney with care, in hope that St. Nicholas soon would be there.
The children were nestled all snug in their wee little bed, while visions of sugar plums danced in their wee.
But out on the lawn there arose such a clatter. I sprang from my bed to see what was the matter. Away to the window I flew like a flash, tore open the shutters, threw open the sash.
Then, what to my wondering eyes should appear but a miniature sleigh and a tiny reindeer. With a little old driver so lively and quick that I knew right away that it must be St. Nick. All bundled in fur from his head to his foot, old Santa was covered with ashes and soot. I drew in my head and was turning around when down the chimney he came with a bow.
His eyes, how they twinkled. His dimples, how merry. His cheeks were like roses. His nose like a cherry. His droll little mouth was drawn up like a bow. And the beard on his chin was as white as the snow.
The stump of a little old pipe he held tight in his teeth, and the smoke went around and around and around his head like a wreath. He was so chubby and plump, a right jolly old elf, that I laughed and I laughed and I laughed when I saw him in spite of myself. He had a broad face, oh ho ho, and a little round belly, oh ho ho, that shook when he laughed, oh ho ho, like a bowl full of jelly. Oh ho, he gave me a wink of his eye and a twist of his head. A chuckle and a smile, I knew all the while I had nothing to dread.
He spoke not a word, but went straight to his work and filled all the stockings.
Oh boy.
Then turned with a jerk. Then laying
a finger aside of his nose and giving a nod up the chimney, he rose. He sprang to his sleigh, to his team, gave a whistle, and away they all flew like the town of a thistle. But I heard him exclaim, and he drove out of sight.
Merry Christmas to all, and to all, good luck.
Oh, is he gone?
Is the night after Christmas and all through the house not a creature is stirring? Not even the mouse. The presents are scattered and broken, I fear. And St. Nicholas won't come again for a year. The children are nestled all warm in their wee little beds,
while memories of sugar plums dance in their wee little
heads. Mama in her kerchief and I in my cap are settled at last for a long winter's night.
Thank you.
ladies and gentlemen, even while we wish you a Merry Christmas, we can't help thinking that in many parts of the world, the spirit of goodwill toward men has been made a shame and a mockery. But there'll be other Christmases. And to our men in uniform all over the world, we send our prayers and our thanks for what they are doing to restore faith and decency to our world. To them we say thank you and God bless you.
And we hope and pray that when next Christmas comes, there will really be peace on earth.
Good night.
Good night, all.
This is the National Broadcasting Company.
That's Fibber McGee and Molly, a broadcast from December 22nd, 1942, listening to Christmas Carols, Jim and Mary and Jordan. It was about a year, just a little over a year after we entered the war, World War II, because we, of course, entered the war in December of 41. Here they are saying they hope that the next year, 1943, that the war would be over, would not be over,
right.
Would be over in 45. So we were just really only 1 year into it at this point. Very touching Christmas story there on Fibber McGee and Molly. We have much more classic radio coming your way here on the WGN Radio Theater all the way to 2 o'clock in the morning. My co-host tonight, Mike Costella, pinch hitting for Lisa Wolf, who's in Florida for the next couple of weeks with her family. Let's take a quick break. Then it's more right here on WGN. All right. When we come back from the news, we will tune into a tremendous episode of Escape, a good Christmas show called The Cave from 1950. Then after that, the Damon Runyon Theater. But Roger and Mike, I have a very, very important question to ask you both.
Oh, a very important question.
I mean, really super important.
Yeah. Is his finger on the button again?
Yes. My hand is on the table. What did the stamp say to the Christmas card?
I've got you licked.
That's good. I like that.
Right,
that's pretty good.
All right.
Mine is stick with me and we'll go places.
There you go. Yeah.
All right.
Signed, sealed, delivered on yours?
Yeah. Huh?
There you go.
I like that. Yeah. I have some more jokes for you throughout the night.
Seriously?
Just in case you were...
Oh, I'm sorry.
Just in case you were yearning for them.
Yawning for them?
Yeah, yearning. Yearning for them. That's just like one letter off, right? Lisa's always like, you're just one letter off, Carl.
Yep. Yeah. All that's never mind. Go ahead.
That ain't all that's off.
Back to WGN Radio Theater with Earl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
All right. This is hour two of the WGN Radio Theater. We're live here in the Allstate studio. We're right on 435 North Michigan Avenue in the Showcase Studio. People are walking by and they're out there. They're still out there at midnight, walking around. We're waving to people. If you're ever out on a Saturday and Sunday night, if you're downtown, do walk by and wave. It's always nice to see listeners. And I don't think that they play the show out there though, right, Mike? I
mean, not after a certain time.
Yeah, they don't play the.
I think midnight is the cutoff.
Yeah?
Actually,
maybe Roger knows. Roger knows everything. The man in the behind the curtain.
The man behind the curtain.
Do you know what time they turn this speaker off outside?
I think it's either 8 or 10, something
yeah.
like that.
Oh, must
really?
Be just an
yeah.
ordinance
yeah.
thing, right?
Well,
probably.
Have people living here
yeah.
in the downtown area. They have apartments in these big buildings.
So what?
So?
They need to listen to our show.
Let's put it on a big speaker. Let's
yeah.
wake them up. No.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's even though the sound doesn't carry that far, it's
yeah.
not a loudspeaker.
Yeah.
You can hear it kind of within a few feet.
All right.
They it's a ordinance.
Well,
it's
you
a
know what?
So it's different times for Saturday and Sunday.
No, it's
Saturday.
The same time.
I've been out here pretty late and I've heard it out.
Well, you know,
I've even heard our show outside.
You know
here.
Well, I want this speaker on till 2 a.m. for our show on Saturday and Sundays. Who do I have to bribe or talk to?
Mayor Emanuel and all 50 aldermen.
Really? What about Jesse Jackson? Could I ask him?
Yeah, it has nothing to do with it.
He has nothing to do with it?
Nothing to do with it.
Because I was hanging with him a little bit in L.A. Actually, I was. I have a picture. I'll show you.
Okay.
He was at the hotel I was staying at.
I believe you.
Yeah. He and his son.
Stalker. What?
And he and his son were there, and I thought maybe I'd call him up and say, hey.
Sure, why not? He's got pull.
Reverend, could you do something about this? I want my show on all the way till 2 a.m. outside.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Then people can come by, stand together, and do a wave for you.
That's right. Well, I'll tell jokes, and they could all kind of do the moan,
you
know, the moan all at the same time, right? Speaking of jokes.
Uh-oh.
What do you call a broke Santa?
A broke?
Yeah, if he's Santa. Broke. If Santa's broke.
Yeah. I did this one. You got
you stumped?
On. Yeah.
Saint Nicholas.
And I'm going to stay stumped all night long while I sleep so I don't have to think about that.
In this hour, it's escape. And then hour three, it's
Can
the
I
Damon.
Escape,
yes,
please?
Escape. My jokes. You know, the listeners could just turn the dial. You have to stay up there and listen to me. You're stuck, buddy. You got to listen to my jokes. In third hour, it's Damon Runyon Theater. It's all brought to you by Cats Pride.
It's time for Celebrity Scoop, brought to you by Cats Pride. Meow.
This actor, retired basketball player, and rapper stars in the upcoming film Uncle Drew, about a squad of the best geriatric ball players who team up at the famed Rucker Court in Harlem.
What? I don't think I understood a word you said just
This
now.
Actor, retired basketball player, rapper, stars in the upcoming film Uncle Drew,
uh-huh.
about a squad of the best geriatric ball players
uh-huh.
who team up at the famed Rucker Court in Harlem.
All right. What do they win?
They are going to win a 4-CD set of the Twilight Zone radio dramas
yeah.
hosted by Stacey Keach.
312-981-7200. Here's a hint. This actor and retired basketball player and rapper is heard here in a scene from Scary Movie 4.
Yeah, you're probably not man enough. I guess your mama was right.
All right, who is that actor, rapper, basketball player? 312-981-7200. We'll find our winner after these words.
We're back and we're playing Celebrity Scoop. Let's hear the clip one more time.
Yeah, you're probably not man enough. I guess your mama was right.
All right. Who is that actor, rapper, basketball player? Let's go to the line and talk to Ryan. Yeah. Hi, Ryan.
Hey, how's it going? Shaquille O'Neal.
Yeah.
That's correct. So you've won a 4-CD set of the Twilight Zone radio dramas hosted by Stacey Keach.
There you go, Ryan. Great job.
Real cool. Thank you.
All right. You're welcome.
Welcome.
Merry Christmas to you. All right, it's time for Escape. This was a really great series. It came to radio in 1947, lasted all the way to 1954. It was really radio's greatest series of high adventure and mystery. And you'll recognize the voices of Escape. They used William Conrad and Paul Frees as sort of the narrators and very, very recognizable voices. These had radio's best supporting players in lead roles like Harry Bartell and John Daner, Joseph Kearns, Ben Wright. On this particular Christmas episode called The Cave, it stars John Daner and Georgia Ellis. Georgia Ellis on Gunsmoke was Kitty Russell. She played the saloon girl Kitty. Also, you'll hear Dick Beals as a 10-year-old boy, one of the two 10-year-old boys in this. Let's go back to Christmas Eve, 1950, for The Cave on part one of Escape.
You, finding life rather dull, dreaming again of exotic places, wishing you were somewhere else, we offer you Escape.
In the spirit of the Christmas season and its magic effect on all men, Escape brings you a charming fantasy about a small boy who discovered a delightful new world and lived forever after in its enchantment. As Anthony Ellis tells it in The Cave.
Hello,
It's on days like this that I remember how it used to be before I found the cave. This day in particular. Of course, it's hard to see everything as it really was. Time has a habit of distorting the memories. Memories. Christmas. Christmas Day. Oh, what a long time ago that was. I was 10, and an unpopular uncle had distinguished himself by giving me a flashlight, and it was enormous. 4 batteries and a most incredible gleam to its metal case. I couldn't wait to try it out. And because it was still early afternoon, I could think of only one place that was dark enough for the exciting test. The cave. The big cave whose mouth was near the sand dunes and whose recess was rumored to be miles deep. George Fennell and I had never ventured more than 200 yards or so inside, but on that Christmas afternoon, I knew that the cold darkness of the cave would have no fears for George and me. We met near the dunes, as arranged, to compare notes on our respective Christmas presents. It was quite warm, and the snow was beginning to melt in patches. A few gulls were wheeling about nearby. It was as I have remembered it all my life.
That's keen. Listen, I bet it'll work like a searchlight tonight.
I guess it would, all right.
Maybe they'll let us stay up tonight. If it doesn't get cold, we could play pirate. I use my new gun.
I thought we might go in the cave this afternoon.
Hey, that's keen. Oh, maybe they'll get sore. I had to get all dressed up today.
Don't get dirty. Besides, we could go a real long way inside with this.
I wouldn't want to go in too far. They say the cave goes off in a lot of tunnels. You can get lost.
Maybe. If you haven't got a flashlight.
Sure, that's right. And with my gun. Sure, we can explore. Come on. I'll race you to the cave.
I won the race, and we stood at the entrance of the big cave. The arch had a span of about 25 feet, but just inside, it widened until the walls were 70 feet apart and the ceiling was over 50. As we passed from sunlight to shadow, I turned for a moment and looked down to the sea. At the water's edge, a gull stood, motionless, looking up at us. And then, solemnly, as though with disapproval, it too turned about and gazed out over the water. The opening of the cave receded and became small, and we went deeper and deeper.
Shine it up there, Dan. Way up.
Okay.
Gee, I bet that's high.
A mile, I guess.
You're dilly, a mile. Maybe 100 feet. Psst. Bang, bang. Boy, that's keen. Just like a real gun.
Come on, let's look. Let's look the cave down here. It looks like a turn, see?
Well, okay, but we better not go too far.
What's the matter, you scared?
Heck no, but... Well, I gotta get back for dinner. They'll get awful sore if I'm late.
Oh, you won't be late, come on. I wanna see what's around here.
Okay, hold the light on my gun. I gotta reload. Fish. Who ever heard of fish in a stream like this? Where'd they come from, huh? Where?
Well, I don't know. They say there are fish in caves sometimes. Blind fish.
That's dilly.
What are you stopping for?
We gotta go back now.
Why?
Because it's late. Besides, how do you know which tunnel we took? How? Maybe we could get lost.
Listen, maybe if we keep on going, we'll find treasure in here.
Treasure?
Sure stands to reason. Maybe like in the pirate book. Somebody came here and buried treasure. Henry Morgan or somebody.
No.
Sure stands to reason. Everybody's like you. They say no, but just suppose. If no one's looked, how'd they know?
I think we better get back. Maybe tomorrow we can look. Cave's getting awful narrow.
We might even find old pirate bones and Schwartz!
You got too much imagination. I heard them saying so at home. I don't want to go any farther.
I'm going to.
Okay. Give me the flashlight.
No. You want to go back? You go back in the dark.
They'll be mad. It's late.
Just for a little while? If we don't find anything, well, then we'll go back.
All right. But only a little while.
I'm thirsty.
You better not drink out of that water. It's probably poison.
Why? Hold the light. I'm going to have a drink.
There you are. See, I told you. Now you'll probably die. It's poison.
Oh, so? It's like the ocean.
Hey, look.
What?
There, coming down the stream, that white thing.
Yeah.
Looks like a piece of paper.
I'm going to get it. Hold on to my hand.
You'll fall in.
Oh, I won't. Got it.
What is it?
I don't know. It looks like a handkerchief.
That's dilly. It's too small. Who'd use a handkerchief like that?
My mother does.
Gee, I'd hate to blow my nose on that. You can almost see through it.
How'd it get down here?
Who cares?
Maybe it's a message.
Huh?
Like from someone in distress.
I'm going home.
Like a damsel in distress in the pirate book. Hey, we gotta find out. Give me my flashlight. We'll follow the stream.
We followed the stream. We walked by it as the cave twisted and curved. We didn't notice the passageway, which had been getting smaller all the time, suddenly widen out. And the stream, which was becoming a river, and the river... The river!
Hey!
What?
Where's the other side of the water?
There isn't any. It keeps going. It's like a lake.
Or maybe a sea. There's little waves.
Dan.
Huh?
Turn the light around.
The walls are gone. There's no walls.
There's gotta be. It's a cave.
There's no top to it either.
It's just too high to see, that's all. Let's go home. Let's go home right now.
What are you afraid of?
I'm not, but I'm hungry and it's Christmas and... Well, I got things to play with. Come on, Dan. Come on, I want to get outside. What'd you do that for? Turn on the light. Turn it on.
Don't you notice something?
You turn that on. Give it to me.
Oh, wait a minute. I want you to see something. I'll turn it on.
You give it to me.
Dan.
I'm not going to play with you anymore. You give it.
See what you've done?
It's all your fault. I didn't want to come in here anyway. How are we going to get back? It's dark.
No, it isn't. That's what I wanted you to see. Look up there.
I don't see anything.
You will.
Oh. It's like stars. Way, way up.
That's what it is. It's stars.
We stood there, George and I, 10 years old, and for a moment no longer afraid because of the wonder of the thing. There was light from a sky that I knew I had never seen before. Yet I knew I was still in the big cave because when I spoke, the echo of my voice returned.
It's beautiful.
I can't find it. The water's too deep. Dan? Dan?
That's funny.
You're always saying that. It's not going to be funny when we can't get
home. Listen. Dan!
Dan!
Dan! Now you do it.
What for? It's just an old echo.
Go on.
George. Help.
There. How can there be an echo when there's no cave anymore?
You're trying to scare me. Well, I'm going. You can come too if you want. Dan, please.
I'll bet nobody's ever been in here ever. I'll bet we're the first. Except for pirates, maybe. I wish we could see more.
If my mother hadn't taken away my matches, we could find our way out okay. Gollies, it's night. Come on. Please. I'm hungry. Somebody's here. Somebody else.
Sounds like it's over there.
No, don't go, Dan. Dan, I'm scared. I don't like this place.
Go home if you want to. I can see someone. Look.
Gee.
He's digging in the sand.
Don't let's go any closer, Dan.
Let go of me. I want to see what he's doing.
No. Look.
Some other people. They got swords.
Got you, Nambi, you scurvy wretch. Look on him, bullies.
Yeah. Don't hit me, Captain. I just wanted to see if the treasure was still there. It's the truth, I did.
I'll show you what's there, you pot-bellied toad.
No! No, Captain, no. You're killing me. No, please, no. I wasn't touching the treasure. Don't hit me again. Don't kill me.
Kill you? No. I haven't started to kill you yet, Nemi. Come on, bullies. Lay on. We'll exercise our appetites for the feast.
Escape, under the direction of Norman MacDonald, returns in just a moment. There's nothing quite as depressing as being hungry. Hunger is the hand which crushes the will to work. Hunger is the enemy of hope. And there are many, many hungry people today in the war-anguished lands of Europe and the Far East. You can restore that will to work. You can restore hope by combating hunger. And your weapon of combat is a care package. For $10, you can send a care package today. Keep sending them until those people can take care of themselves.
All right, that's the first portion of Escape with the Cave, starring John Daner. Good program from 1950, Christmas Eve of 1950. Let's take a quick break, then it's more on the WGN Radio Theater.
Back to WGN Radio Theater with Earl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
All right, we're back, and this is hour two of the WGN Radio Theater. We're playing all your favorite classic radio shows, and the theme is Christmas. We're playing Christmas shows all the way through next week. Now, I want to remind everybody that, one, I am on Justin Kaufman's show this Wednesday from 8 to 9 p.m. I will be on the show with him talking about classic radio and about my new book, The Top 100 Classic Radio Shows. And in fact, I think we're going to give a few books away to listeners.
Nice.
So, so tune in from 8 to 9 p.m. This Wednesday, I'll be on with Justin Kaufman. And then next week, I am not on Sunday night. The show is off Sunday, but we will be on Saturday, which is Christmas Eve, December 23rd. I will be here with my crabby brother, Vince. Vince is going to be pinch hitting for Lisa. And we'll play some Christmas shows for you, but then Sunday we're not on the air. Just wanted to give you a heads up on that. Please listen to me with Justin Kaufman this Wednesday at 8 p.m. and then next Saturday for some more Christmas programming. But right now it's time for the conclusion to Escape.
And now, back to Escape.
In that faint light from the stars of another world, the world of the big cave, George and I watched. We could only see shadows until someone lit a lantern. And then I knew that I'd been right.
Pirates! Pirates!
I want to go home.
Pirates they were. The most glorious, the gaudiest pirates to sail under the Jolly Roger. The leader was a huge man with a fine, bushy beard and a voice like the trombone in the village band.
How shall we cook him, bullies? Broiled or steamed?
No! No, Captain, no!
He's too tough a morsel for that, Captain. I say roast him.
I shall. Roast it'll be.
Nothing like roast Nambi, I always say.
No, no! We'll cut out his heart first, and feed it to the dog.
Yes, I feed it.
Lambie, you lily-livered aggravation, say your prayer.
He's going to kill him. I don't want to watch.
Shut up.
Shh.
Who is that?
I don't know, Captain.
Sounded like a boy.
A boy? A boy?
My apt was the Lady Alicia.
Bilge. She's in the dungeon, Gunfallon.
Aye, that's true.
It came from over there. Hold the lantern, aye, Shil.
They'll get us, Dan. We gotta run.
Don't be afraid. If you're not afraid, nothing can happen.
Do you see anything, Gunfallon?
You know it, but... Oh. Save us all. Tis a boy. There's two of them.
Well, scupper me. Boy, huh? Oh, the little demon. That's it. Boys. Two small boys.
What'll we do with them, Captain?
Hang them, I say. Hang them. They're after the treasure. You! Were it not Christmas, Nemby, I should have turned you inside out. How'd you bliss a blethering jaw? Aye, Captain. Aye, aye. Boy, what's your name?
Dan Embry, sir.
On that one.
George.
He's my friend, George. George Fennel. His father's a policeman.
Where'd you come from, boy?
Greenfield. That's outside the cave.
Cave? What cave? What do you do here? Whose spies are you? Answer up!
Just exploring. We got here, that's all.
Exploring? Where's your ship?
We didn't come in a ship.
What, no ship?
There, boys, Captain, what harm can they do? Come, it's Christmas. I say feed them and send them on their way.
What's Christmas got to do with it? If they're spies, it's the plank for them.
Right. We're not spies. Honest.
We'll look into this further. Meantime, the goose and suckling pig should be ready. I say it's time for the feast. I'll say you will. Are you hungry, boy?
Yes, sir.
And him?
He's hungry, too.
Then join us, and Merry Christmas. For no man can say Captain Blackton lacks the Christian spirit. Am I right, Nemby?
You're right, Captain. Right as rain.
I'd have slit your gullet had you said me nay. Merry Christmas. And break out the rum barrel.
I remember that day, that long ago, the great dining board set upon trestles, the fruits, the wine, roast goose, and pig, the pirates rough in their colorful patched clothing, the songs, the drinking, and stories, stories of home and sea. Such Christmases are dreamt of, and I had dreamed it to come true. George sat next to me, eyes wide and unbelieving. And after the plum pudding, we were called on to sing a carol. And as we sang, they became quiet, and each sat lost with his own thoughts of sweetness and sadness. The little man Nemby, bird-like and asleep. Gunfallon, thin as a twig, a patch over one eye, and the other kindly and wise. Shil and the captain, tears coursing down their cheeks. These were my pirates, my own.
Born is the king of Israel.
Well done. Well done, I say. A dollop of rum for the boys.
Captain, this be an happy day with us. Let's share with those less fortunate.
Less fortunate? Who? We're all well met.
The Lady Alicia.
Nay,
She is our prisoner. Until ransom is paid, so she will remain.
What matter if she grace our table for the evening? It has been long since a woman's been with us.
Aye,
that's right.
Very well. Send the prisoner here. Bring her from the dungeon.
Then I thought of the fine lace handkerchief we had found in the stream. Would this prisoner, the Lady Alicia, would she have sent the message of distress? And how? They brought her in. And to me, she looked as she should have looked. The most beautiful lady in the world. Gowned in silks, with a pale but proud face. I fell in love with her, and I was 10. As the night wore on, the pirates grew drowsy, and one after another their heads drooped, and soon all were asleep. Even George, sitting small in his great chair, nodded. I went to the Lady Alicia's side.
It was your handkerchief we found in the stream, wasn't it?
Yes, I had not dared to hope.
But they have you locked in a dungeon.
Beyond my windows a running brook. I prayed that when I dropped the kerchief, it would by some happy chance be discovered.
I found it all right.
You are very brave to have come here.
How long have they kept you in prison?
6 months now. We were sailing to the Indies. Our ship was taken, and I alone survived. Now they hold me for ransom.
That's terrible. Gosh, I wish I could do something to save you.
There is nothing.
I know I'm not very big, but maybe I could fight
them.
There
are too many for you.
Anne, they're all asleep. Come on, we can get away now. Let's go home.
Home?
Sure, our folks are going to be mad.
George, we got to save her.
If you could but escape and deliver a message to my father.
Sure, okay. Where does he live?
London, Lord Basingstoke. He will reward you well.
Sure, but we gotta go now.
I don't want to leave you. They'll be angry when they wake up.
My hope will rest in you. I shall pray for your safety and return.
Gee whiz, Dan, come on.
You go ahead. I'll be right along.
Okay, but hurry up. I'll wait by the water.
Will you be all right?
Yes.
Suppose I come back and you're not here.
I shall try to leave a message.
I'm Dan.
I know.
When I get older, I'll marry you. You're beautiful.
I'll wait for you. You must go before they awake.
I don't want to go.
You will come back to me. Here.
I love you.
Hurry up, Dan. Gee whiz, I want to get home. They'll be mad. Mother said not to be late for dinner.
We gotta save Lady Alicia. Don't forget.
Okay, but hurry up. It's dark. Do you know which way to go?
I know.
I don't want to fall in the stream and get all wet. I got my good clothes on.
You won't.
I'm sorry I dropped your flashlight, Ann. I'll save up and get you another.
I don't mind.
I bet it's awful late. I'm glad it's Christmas. Maybe they won't mind.
We followed the tunnels one to the other. The stream flowed with us, urging us on. It was dark, but I knew the way. We felt along the damp walls of the cave, and at every step we moved further away from my world. And suddenly, from a great distance, we saw a tiny circle of light, a dot which grew and grew until it was the size of a gold sovereign.
There it is, Dan. It's the entrance, and it's still light out. I won't be late for dinner.
And I was afraid. I was afraid because I knew that if I stepped out into that sunlight, I should never be able to find my way back again. Never.
Hey, what are you stopping for? Why?
George?
If we run, we can be home before the sun goes down. For Pete's sake, Dan, what's the matter with you?
I'm not coming with you.
Oh, gee, what's the...
I gotta go back.
Go back? What do you want to do that for?
I got to. I don't want to leave her. The pirates. I want to go back.
Pirates? Who?
It's Lady Alicia.
Gee whiz, Dan. Come on, it was only a game. Come on.
You've forgotten. I knew you would. I'm not going with you.
You better. I'm going to tell your mother. You'll get it.
Goodbye, George.
Dan? Dan! Come back! Dan, what's the matter with you? Dan? You'll get lost! Dan! Dan! Don't go in there again! We played long enough! Come back! Come back! Dan! Dan! Dan!
I turned away from George and the speck of light that was outside. His voice followed me, plaintive and lonely. And then as I found the stream again, there was no sound but that of gentle water and my own steps. And the stream became a river, and the river broadened, and the walls of the cave fell away, and I'd found my pirates again. It's on days like this that I remember how it used to be before I found the cave. This day in particular. Sometimes I wonder what happened to George and what it's like outside the cave. But I don't really mind. After all, the Lady Alicia kept her promise and waited for me until I grew up. Now, everything is as I'd always dreamed it in the books. Oh, Captain Blackton... And he's still here, a little less ferocious, perhaps, than 20 years ago.
Captain?
Yes, Blackton.
If you and milady are ready, sir, the turkeys are cooked, and the men are waiting your pleasure.
Very well, Blackton. Thank you, and a Merry Christmas.
Thank you, Captain. Thank you, sir. And a Merry Christmas to you, sir.
Under the direction of Norman MacDonald, Escape has brought you The Cave by Anthony Ellis. Featured in the cast were John Daner, Georgia Ellis, Peggy Weber, Jay Novello, Charlie Lung, Lou Krugman, Wilms Herbert, and Eileen Erskine. The special music for Escape was composed and conducted by Ivan Dittmars.
Next week, escape with us to a placid English village and the company of an equally placid little old man who one day shook the world, as H.G. Wells told it in his delightful story, The Man Who Could Work Miracles.
Now, stay tuned for Make Believe Town, which follows immediately on most of these same CBS stations. Roy Rowan speaking. This is CBS, where you spend an hour with Frank Sinatra every Sunday afternoon on the Columbia Broadcasting System.
That's Escape, December 24th, 1950, with The Cave, as heard on CBS. John Daner, and great episode right there. John Daner in that program, Georgia Ellis, also Peggy Weber, a good pal, Peggy Weber, Jay Novello, Wilms Herbert. A good episode of Escape. In our next hour, the Damon Runyon Theater, a Christmas show called Dancing Dance Christmas from 1948. So stick around. Much more classic radio coming your way. You know what, Mike? If you want to stay warm this winter, you know how to do that?
I don't know, but you've got the trick.
Come on. You know about heat holders.
Yes.
Heat holders. I gave you a couple of pairs of heat holders.
No, you did not.
What do you mean? You didn't get any?
No.
Oh, man. Well, so now I know I can. I have a bunch of them because I bought a bunch of heat holders because I want to put them as stocking stuffers for people in my family. So I'll reserve a couple for you because I don't want your feet to be cold this winter.
I'm curious to try them out.
Oh, they're great. Heat holders has hats. They have scarves. They have throws. They make gloves. Not just socks, and they keep your feet and hands and head warmer because they have this special 3-stage process with a cashmere-like advanced insulating yarn that's soft to the touch and brushed on the inside, trapping warm air closer to your skin, keeping your feet, hands, head warmer, comfortable, and dry, making heat holders the softest and most comfortable socks and hats and gloves guaranteed. Heat holders will pamper your feet. Heat holders also makes hats, as I said, and scarves and throws and gloves. I don't have the heat holder gloves. I got to get that because my hands are always cold because when we go out to the parking lot here and the snow is falling, having to scrape the snow and ice off the windows, need the heat holder gloves. So give someone you love heat holders for the holidays. Go to heatholders.com, and here's the best part. You can use a code, WGN. If you type in WGN, you save 15% off your order, and you'll also receive free shipping on any purchase of $25 or more. It's a great company. You should know about it. Heatholders.com. Remember to go to heatholders.com and use the promo code WGN. That's heatholders.com. Let's see. There was something else I wanted to remind our listeners. Oh, the episode of Suspense that I got hooked on, you know, back when I was 12 years old, I heard a suspense radio drama called On a Country Road with Cary Grant. Now, we've played it here on WGN quite often, but we offer it to every one of our listeners absolutely free via digital download. Just go to our website, classicradiostore.com, classicradiostore.com. If you go there, the very first show that is available on that website is the Suspense half-hour episode On a Country Road. It's really a great episode. It'll keep you riveted to your computer or any listening device. It's a digital download, so you'll have it instantly. And this month, you can get two collections at half price. We have a Christmas collection, which has 12 great Christmas shows, normally $19.99. Search for it on there, Classic Radio's Greatest Christmas Shows, only $9.99 via digital download. Plus, Amos and Andy, Volume 1, 12 comedy episodes, Freeman Gosden and Charles Carell as Amos and Andy, normally $19.99, yours for only $9.99. The month of December, there's no code or anything you have to put in when you order those two digital download collections. You'll get them for only $9.99 each. So great value. We change it every month. So every single month, January there'll be two different collections, and February and so on and so forth. So the best way to collect these collections is to get the two that are only half price, that are half price during the month. So as I say, in December, it's Classic Radio's Greatest Christmas Shows, 12 shows for only $9.99, and then Amos and Andy Volume 1, only $9.99 for 12 shows as well, right?
Nice.
Yeah, that's the way we do it around here, Mike. We want our listeners to collect as many of these shows as you can, and we like to give you a nice discount when you do. All right, in our next hour, we will be tuning in to the Damon Runyon Theater, a Christmas show called Dancing Dance Christmas, starring John Daner. That's an hour 3 coming up after the news.
Back to WGN Radio Theater with Earl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
All right, well, obviously Lisa Wolf is not here because otherwise she'd have a very deep voice.
Right.
Because either she's in Florida enjoying the nice weather out there, but she'll be back not next week, but I think the following week. I think we are here the day before New Year's Eve, but I think we have New Year's Eve off. I'm pretty sure, but I think she's back here for that New Year's Eve. Yeah. Well, we'll have to ask her. We'll figure it out.
We'll see.
Yeah. But in the meantime, hope she's having fun in Florida and getting some sun. In this hour, it is the Damon Runyon Theater, a good show from 1948, Christmas show called Dancing Dan's Christmas, and it's all brought to you by Cat's Pride.
It's time for Celebrity Scoop, brought to you by Cat's Pride. Meow!
This actress stars in the upcoming film Ophelia, a reimagining of Hamlet told from Ophelia's perspective.
Okay.
They are going to win a 4-CD set of the Twilight Zone radio dramas hosted by Stacey Keach.
All right, the number to call, 312-981-7200. You can call right now. Here's a hint. This actress was the star of the Ring horror franchise series.
The tape. Did you watch it?
All right. Who is that very lovely actress? 312-981-7200. We'll find our winner after these words.
This is the WGN Radio Theater, and we're playing Celebrity Scoop. Let's hear the clip one more time.
The tape. Did you watch it?
We took a caller offline. We had John on the line, and he knew that it was Naomi Watts, and he has won a 4-CD set of the Twilight Zone radio dramas hosted by Stacey Keach.
Very good. All right. Excellent. You ready for Damon Runyon Theater?
Yes.
Well, the Damon Runyon Theater was a very unique series. It was sort of a comedy drama, and it was based on Damon Runyon, the newspaper man and writer. It was short stories that celebrated the world of Broadway in New York City that grew out of the Prohibition era. And they took his classic movies like Little Miss Marker and Guys and Dolls and dramatized them for radio. Now, Alan Ladd's Mayfair Productions in 1948 licensed the rights and began producing this series. It was all told through the eyes of a hood with a heart of gold named Broadway, and inside some of the Big Apple's toughest, yet most charming perpetrators, Broadway was your central character, and he took us through those stories, as you'll hear right now with Dancing Dan's Christmas. John Brown plays Broadway. Let's go back to December 18th, 1948, for part one of the Damon Runyon Theater.
Damon Runyon Theater. Once again, the Damon Runyon Theater brings you another story by the master storyteller, Damon Runyon. And this one, Dancing Dan's Christmas. And to tell it to you, here is Broadway.
Thanks. The time this story takes place is Christmas. The time when everybody is saying things about peace on earth, goodwill to men. Now, that is a sentiment with which I go along 300%, and I wish that everyone will take it to heart. However, there are certain citizens who never hear of peace, and goodwill is nice, but not absolutely necessary. And how it happens that I almost spend my last Christmas with no will at all is quite a story. It is just 2 days before Christmas that I am sitting in Mindy's, enjoying some cheesecake and coffee. My enjoyment is not long-lasting, because no sooner is the first bite in my mouth than I am joined by a character named Shotgun Sam, so-called for reasons that are plain. He sidles up, eyes me for a couple of seconds, then sits down. The cheesecake has no more flavor and gets even less tasty, as Shotgun says as follows.
Broadway, how are you?
First rate. How are you, Shotgun?
Tired. Very tired. Is the cheesecake good?
I just take my first bite.
Oh. I don't see Dancing Dan any place around, do you?
I am not looking for him.
I am.
Oh?
He is as hard to find as warmth in a bookie's heart.
It seems to me that the places to be looking for Dancing Dan would be the nightclubs. He likes to dance.
Mm-hmm. And that is just why I'm looking for him. Because he's such a slick dancer.
You wish to take lessons?
I do not. I wish to give Dancing Dan one. And one he will not forget.
I tell you, I do not see him any place.
I believe you.
Thanks.
Broadway, I do not like the job I gotta do.
Which is?
It seems that Dancing Dan dances too much here lately with the wrong doll.
Muriel O'Neill?
The same. You know about it, then?
Well, there is a rumor that Heine Schmitz likes her.
Said rumor is absolutely true. And because it is, Heine wishes Dancing Dan to know it.
Look, Shotgun, what harm is there in dancing with Muriel O'Neill?
None, except that Dancing Dan does it more than once. Now I've got to find him and end his career. You're sure you do not see him?
As sure as I am a foot high, I do not.
Okay. But if you do, you will let me know?
Well, to tell the truth, I do not get to many places which are apt to see Dancing Dan.
But in case you do, Heine would take it as a personal favor if you would tell me. Also, he would take it as a personal affront if you do not.
But, Shotgun,
I would take it as a personal affront. I have got this job to do for Heine. And I would like to get it over with because I wish to get home for Christmas. I do not like to spend the Christmas season hunting for somebody here.
I hear.
Okay. See you, man.
Now, when a citizen like Shotgun Sam says he would take it as a personal affront, he means just that. So I make it strictly my business to keep more than somewhat away from the spots where I am likely to see Dancing Dan. Not that I would tip off Shotgun, because I like Dan. But if Shotgun finds out that I see Dan and do not tell him, that is not only the end of my peace on Earth, it is the end. So it is on Christmas Eve that I am in Good Time Charlie's, a place Dancing Dan is never likely to show up. The scene is as follows.
This is what is known as Tom and Jerry Broadway. You like it?
It is very good.
A great thing for Christmas.
Charlie,
yeah?
How does it happen you have no other customers tonight?
Christmas Eve, everybody stays home. I figure I'll close up early and...
Who's that?
It does not make any difference. Let him knock. Now, as I was saying...
Whoever it is wants to come in.
I gotta close up. No more customers tonight.
Maybe it is someone who wants to see you.
Oh, okay. Leave the door on its hinges. I'm coming.
Hiya, Charlie.
Dan. Dancing Dan.
Yeah. Dancing Dan.
Well, Broadway, how are you?
What are you doing here, Dan?
Here? Well, I just thought I'd drop in and wish everybody a Merry Christmas.
Everybody is not here.
And so I see. Hey, Charlie, is that a Tom and Jerry?
Yeah, you wish one?
Yeah, just one, then I gotta go. Here, store this someplace for me, will you?
Yeah, what is in the package? Iron?
Not by a long shot. Well, Broadway, I haven't seen you for a long time. Where you been keeping yourself?
Safe?
Huh? How's it with you, Charlie?
They're pretty good. Here, have a Tom and Jerry on the house.
Thanks. It's good.
Yeah.
Dan, is it safe for you to be out?
Hmm? Oh, you mean about Heine Schmitz, huh?
That is it.
Well, this is kind of a farewell party, boys. From now on, I'm going the straight and narrow.
You? Why? I mean, this is news.
Yeah. Maybe because I'm in love.
This makes it worse. I presume the doll is Muriel O'Neill.
Mm-hmm. You know, this is Christmas. I figure there's no better time for a guy to cut out his old life and build something new for himself. And that's what I'm going to do. And here's to you, Broadway.
Look, Dan, I'd give a million potatoes if I do not see you tonight.
Why?
I just would. You are plenty hot.
Oh, sure. Heine doesn't like me. And when Heine doesn't like somebody, that somebody is in the red. Plenty.
I gotta go, Dan.
Why?
Look, you know I wouldn't give the tip off, Dan, but... Well, Shotgun Sam is looking for you.
And when he finds you...
I know.
Broadway is right, Dan. Shotgun will not be particular who is between him and his tug.
Yeah.
You sure nobody sees you come in here?
I don't know.
Holy mackerel. Merry Christmas, everybody.
It's funny, isn't it? Here I am, in love with a doll who loves me. I want to go straight. I want to forget the old life and build up something new for Muriel and me. I gotta do it the hard way.
Yeah, it is funny.
Okay, tell you what. I'll stay just a couple of minutes. Then I'll take the heat off you two by getting out of here. Okay?
Sure, Dan. You are an all right guy.
Broadway, what do you say?
It's Christmas Eve. What else can I say?
Thanks. Well, Merry Christmas, boys.
It is more than a little uncomfortable in Good Time Charlie's, as any minute we are expecting Shotgun Sam to poke in and end the proceedings. But a half hour goes by, and all three of us are beginning to think that everything is all right, when the scene is as follows.
That is somebody at the door.
Yeah, it is.
Dan, there's a back way out of here.
You think they won't have that covered? Open the door, Charlie.
You crazy?
I'm tired of running away. Open the door.
You cannot do this, Dan.
Step back. I'll open
it. No, don't, Dan.
Look, if anything happens, take that package to police headquarters.
Police?
Yeah, there's a note in it. They'll understand. Now get back out of line of the door.
Merry Christmas.
Look. It's Santa Claus. It is somebody who looks like him.
Hey, look.
Hi, Charlie. Hi, Broadway.
Look, it is Ookie.
Yeah, Ookie dressed up like Santa Claus.
Yeah, I'm glad you opened, Charlie. It's pretty cold outside.
Ookie, what is the idea of the Santa Claus suit?
And what is the idea of scaring 10 years out of us?
Who? Me?
It's okay, Ookie. You didn't know. But like Broadway asked, what's the idea of the Santa Claus suit?
Well, I'm advertising Fletcher's store. 50 cents an hour I get for walking up and down the streets handing out his cards.
Oh, you got yourself a bad cold.
But I'm going to be all right in a couple of minutes. Just gotta get warm first.
Well, you're crazy. You will get pneumonia if you go out again.
I need the dough bad.
You mean you're so broke you got to walk up and down in that Santa Claus suit for half a check an hour?
How do you like that?
Here, Rookie, drink this. A Tom and Jerry.
Yeah? Thanks. That's good. It's nice and hot. But, gee, I wish I could stay in here and talk with you guys, but I gotta beat it.
You are figuring on going out in the cold?
Well, I need the dough. I ain't got a cent, and my wife's kind of sick. I'd kind of like to bring her a little present this year.
Okay, how long do you have to walk around like that?
About till midnight.
Oh, it's only 10 now.
You will get soaking wet in the snow in 2 hours.
Oh, I'll stop into the storefronts and places to get warmed up. Well, gotta get going. Thanks for the Tom and Jerry.
Sure. Here. Buy the wife a good present, huh?
Oh, gee. Well, thanks, Charlie.
Here, give her one for me, too, huh?
Oh, no, look.
I'm making a real Christmas, Ookie.
Well, gee, Dan. Guys, I got a bad cold. Makes me sniffle.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, gotta get going.
Wait, Ookie. You got dough now. Why kill yourself for a measly 4 bits an hour?
Well, it ain't only this job. But Fletch promised me if I'd make good, he'd let me clean up his place every night. 15 a week. And I need the job. So, you see, I gotta do it.
No, you don't.
Oh, yeah, I do. I've been pretty sick the past year. Couldn't hold no job, but this year's gonna be different. I promise Midge, my wife.
Okay, take off that suit.
Huh? But, Dan, I got...
Take it off.
Dan, what's the idea?
I'm not going to let Oogie walk around with that coal.
Oh, now, please, Dan. I need the job I'm going to get.
You get it. Because Fletcher's Santa Claus is going to walk around.
What are you talking about, Dan?
Me. I'm going to be Santa Claus.
Now I hear everything.
Oh, Dan.
Go on, start taking it off. You stay here till you get good and warm. Then take a cab back home.
Dan, I won't never forget this.
I won't either.
Well, I'll have it off in a jiffy.
Dan, you are crazy. You'll be walking around the streets. You'll be a setup for Shotgun. You got a chance if you keep out of sight.
I'm going to make this the best Christmas I ever had. It says peace on earth, goodwill towards men. Okay, I'm through running away. If Shotgun wants to rub me out on Christmas Eve, let him. I'm not going to run away anymore.
But what about Muriel? Why do you not think about her?
I am. I'm giving her a Christmas present.
Huh? What?
Yeah. Together, we'd only have to keep running away. By herself, she'll do a lot better. Hurry up with that suit, Ookie.
All right, that's the first portion of A Good Christmas Show, Dancing Dan's Christmas on the Damon Runyon Theater from December 18th, 1948. John Brown as Broadway in that. And John Brown did a lot of radio. He was on a ton of stuff. He played Digby O'Dell, the friendly undertaker, on The Life of Riley. He was also Gillis, Riley's next-door neighbor. And he was also Ozzie and Harriet's next-door neighbor. He played a lot of next-door neighbors, John Brown.
Yeah, apparently.
He was also on My Friend Irma. He was Al. Her boyfriend, her deadbeat boyfriend.
Yeah.
Irma's boyfriend on that. He just did a ton of stuff. He was great as Broadway on this with his real Brooklynese voice there. We're going to go to a commercial break in a second, but I want to remind all of our listeners that Dan Jaffe, the CEO of Oil Dry and the parent company of Cat's Pride Kitty Litter, one of our main sponsors here. In fact, they've been a sponsor since day one on this radio show. They give away, Dan does, he gives away a year's supply of Cat's Pride Kitty Litter, which is a fantastic prize. He gives 1 year supply of that away every month here on the WGN Radio Theater. And all you have to do out there in Radio Land to have a chance of winning a year's supply of Cat's Pride Kitty Litter is just send us a picture of your cat. Now, you can be in the picture if you want. You can email us a picture of your cat and send it to catspridephoto@gmail.com. We will need
your name, your city, state, and the name of your cat.
Okay, that's important because if you do win, we need to contact you. And here's what happens. Dan comes in here once a month. We talk a little bit about Cat's Pride kitty litter and how it's the best kitty litter on the planet and why you should be switching over. Not only because they're our main sponsor, but because it's the best kitty litter there is. But also, you have a chance to win this year's supply of Cat's Pride kitty litter. He just does a random drawing. We take all of the names that are emailed in, all of the pictures, and we put them in a bag.
It's the bag that I use for my
black
headphones.
Dan just randomly puts his hand in there, picks one out, and it could be you. So 12 winners every year. But if you don't get a picture in of your kitty cat, you will not win. I can guarantee you that. If you don't get a picture in, you're not going to win. So send a picture to catspridephoto@gmail.com. Do it right away. You can do it tonight. You can do it tomorrow. But Dan will be here at the end of the month. He's here every single month at the end of the month. He'll come in and he'll give away another year's supply of Cat's Pride kitty litter, and it could be you.
Yeah.
Right?
It's a really good deal. It's a really good litter. I actually switched.
Yeah, you switched over to it.
Yeah, and I'm not getting any discounts or anything. So.
Yeah, it's just because it's the best.
It's really a lot better than other brands that I've used.
Yeah, see, there you go. A true testimonial there from Mike Costella. All right, let's take a quick break. Then it's more on the WGN Radio Theater. Mike, why did the turkey join the band?
I have no idea.
Well, because he had drumsticks.
That would be a good reason, I suppose.
Yes, it is.
Back to WGN Radio Theater with Earl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
I want to remind everyone that we are on late. You know, we're on 11 p.m. till 2 a.m. every Saturday and Sunday. So if you cannot stay up with us and hear the full three-hour show every Saturday and Sunday night, we do offer you a free podcast of the show. There are several ways you can hear the podcast. And in fact, I think just about every single one of our radio shows for the past 2.35 years, you know, we're almost on 3 years here, is available at WGN Radio. You can podcast any of our old shows as well, right? Yep. The way I do it is I just Google WGN Radio Theater Podcast, and then it pops up. But I think it's on, like, iTunes or something like that?
It might be on there, but you can go to WGMradio.com and just hit the schedule. And on the schedule, you can click our link, and it'll take you to all the shows.
Oh, all of the shows?
Yeah, you'll see a whole page of every episode.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I got to check that out. What do I do?
WGMradio.com, and then just click on the schedule in there, and then...
It says schedule?
Yeah.
I just click that, and then and then there'll be something that'll drive me to all the podcasts?
It'll show you everyone's show, and then you can click on WGN Radio Theater, and it'll page up to a whole page of all the podcasts.
Wow. Okay.
Of our show.
Very cool. Yeah. I mean, my mom, she listens to the show every single Saturday and Sunday, right? But she falls asleep by the second show. So, so she podcasts it the next day and listens to it. My sister does too. So if you fall asleep, folks, I can understand that. But make sure you tune into the podcast. And Shante is amazing. She gets the podcast up right away.
I mean,
it's up like not too long after the show goes off the air. She's an incredible producer in there. Thank you, Shante. Right now it's time for the conclusion to the Damon Runyon Theater.
Dancin' Dan puts on Ookie's Santa Claus suit, beard and all. We get a pillow from Good Time Charlie and make Dan look quite a bit like the real thing. And then, just as he is about to leave, the scene is as follows.
Now, who is calling me on the phone?
Answer it, Charlie.
Yeah. I'll be back in just a second.
Dan, for the last time, do not do this.
I'm doing it for Ookie and Muriel.
Oh.
It's funny, isn't it?
Yeah,
me being Santa Claus.
I tell you, you got a chance
no,
if you...
No, nothing. But... Right.
Hey, Broadway.
Yeah, Charlie?
This call is for you.
What? For me? But nobody knows I am here.
Well, you better take this.
But...
Go ahead, Broadway. I'll wait here till you're through.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. Hello? This is Broadway.
Broadway, this is Muriel O'Neill.
What?
Charlie told me Dan's there.
Well, yeah, he is, but... How'd you know?
He said he was going to say Merry Christmas to everybody. Broadway, watch him. Don't let him do anything crazy. Please.
What is there I can do?
Talk him out of it.
I tried that for a solid half an hour.
Then go with him.
Go with him?
Yes. They might not try anything if there's somebody with him. Don't you see?
I do not.
You're afraid. All right. Hold him there until I get to him. I'll go with him.
Oh, no. Hey, no, please.
Hold him there.
No, look, Miss O'Neill. There is no... Miss O'Neill! Miss O...
Step on him, Broadway. I want to get going.
Yeah, I'm coming.
A friend of yours on the phone?
Uh-huh. A friend of mine.
Yeah, well, what does the friend have to say, Broadway?
Nothing much. Say, Dan.
Yeah?
I think I will walk a piece with you.
Huh? You're crazy.
I need some air.
Broadway, stay here.
I have to meet somebody in a little while. Come on, Dan.
Okay, I can't stop you. Oh, give me that package, Johnny.
What have you got in there, Dan?
A Christmas present for the police. Come on, Broadway.
Well, so I am crazy. But I do not like to see Miss Muriel O'Neill taking a chance. So I figure I will go with Dan, so that if Miss O'Neill comes into Charlie's, he will tell her I am with him. We step out into the street. The snow is sparkling under the lights, and the bells are ringing. It is a beautiful Christmas Eve, and everybody looks happy but me. I am very sad and more than somewhat jumpy because I expect any minute to hear something that is not Christmas chimes. But we walk up the street, and the scene is as follows.
Look, Broadway, did you ever see a night like this?
Truthfully, no.
Fresh snow on the street, people laughing, talking. What makes people laugh like this, Broadway?
I wish I know.
So do I.
Look, Dan, how far do you expect to walk?
Not far, just to Muriel's place.
Muriel's?
Yeah. I want to put something in her grandma's stocking.
I do not know what you are talking about.
Oh, her grandmother hangs up her stocking every year and gets nothing. But this year, she's going to have a good Christmas. Just one before she dies. This year, that stocking's going to get something good in it.
Like what?
See this package? Know what's in it?
If it is at all like the rest of this evening, there is a bomb in it.
No. I made a haul. 50,000 clams worth of jewelry. This is Christmas Eve, and so I figured I'd take it back to the police because I am going straight.
You are walking around in a Santa Claus suit with 50 grand worth of jewelry wrapped up in a newspaper?
It's the only paper I could find.
And I am with you?
Take it easy, Broadway. No one will think of frisking Santa Claus for jewelry. Hey, look.
Where? What? Who?
A Salvation Army doll. She is not doing a good business. Come on.
Dan, please, let us get in off the street. You now have your fun.
I have to pass out these cards for Ookie, sure. But meanwhile, we're going to drum up a little business for the Salvation Army, Doc.
Merry Christmas. And the last.
Good evening, miss.
Oh, hello there, Santa.
I don't see much folding money in that kettle.
Well, people are too busy to stop, I guess.
Uh-huh. Okay, I will see what I can do.
Dan, please, let us get off the street.
Ah, there's a customer. Hey, you.
Hey, you talking to me?
Uh-huh. You know who I am?
You look like Santa Claus to me.
I am. Now, you be one.
Huh?
Put something in the kettle.
Now, look.
You look there. Put something in the kettle.
Well, of course.
And see that what you put in doesn't make a tinkly sound. In fact, no sound at all.
You were the first Santa Claus I ever seen packing a rod.
I'm different. Go ahead.
Oh, thank you, sir. Thank you.
He will tell the cops then.
Uh-huh. Hey, you. Come here.
Well, I put a $5 bill in the kettle.
Good. Here's your five.
I don't understand.
I want the little lady to think that it came from you. Now beat it.
Oh, sure, Santa Claus. Thanks very much.
Now let's proceed. Stop, Broadway.
Look, Dan, forget this business.
Oh, no, I still got Grandma O'Neill's stocking to fill. Come on.
But Shotgun might be watching here.
So, what if he is?
He will get you.
Well, I'm not going to let Shotgun spoil the best Christmas Eve I've had since I was a kid. You coming with me or not?
I can't stand out here on the street.
Well, then come on. She lives on the second floor. Look, Broadway, you stay back of me. No use you getting it, too.
That makes good sense. See anybody?
No.
I do not like this. It is too quiet.
Yeah. Well, here we are. See if the door is locked.
Open.
Uh-huh. Let me go in first.
Be careful, Dan.
I'll go in first and light the light. Nobody here. Nobody but Grandma O'Neill. Sleeping.
I do not like this, Dan. They will come looking for you here.
Let them. Look at her, Broadway. Sleeping in her chair. And that stocking hanging up. Every year she does that. And now we're going to make it worthwhile.
Look at that.
Yeah. Pretty stuff, ain't it? You know there's a $5,000 reward out for it?
Five? And you're putting it in a stocking?
Why not? It's a nice Christmas present, ain't it? Here we go.
It looks awful funny in that stocking. And it's going to take more than a little explanation how it gets there.
It's here. That's the main thing. Now let's get going again.
Where to now?
Oh, I don't know. But you can go home if you want to.
Yeah. I guess I will.
She's going to believe it really is Santa Claus. Wait. Somebody came in the door in the hall.
Coming up.
Yeah. Get down, Broadway.
Who's that?
Muriel.
Muriel.
Dan. Oh, Dan. Oh, Dan, you crazy fool.
Oh, no, honey, everything's all right.
Muriel, did you see anybody?
No. But why did you come here?
I had something to do, honey.
Please, Dan, you can't stay here. You can't stay in New York.
What do you want me to do, run away?
What do you care if that's what it has to be? It's better than being killed.
I don't think so.
Miss O'Neill is right, Dan.
Maybe. Maybe not. Now, look, Muriel. You wait 5 minutes out here in the hall. Then you go in your flat.
But why?
Do like I said.
What are you going to do, Dan?
Me? I got a great idea. Do like I said. Broadway? Stay with
me. Dan!
Don't come after me.
Broadway, what's he going to do?
Miss O'Neill, I do not know. And even if I do know, I would not understand it. Well, we do like Dan says. We wait 5 minutes, and then we go into Muriel's flat. When she sees the jewelry in the stocking, she makes me tell her what happens, and then she runs out in the street to look for Dan. But he is gone. And it's not until the next day that I hear what happens from Good Time Charlie.
Sure, sure. I am telling it straight, Broadway. Dan goes right to the police and tells them he pulled that jewelry job.
And he leaves the jewelry so Muriel will get the reward?
That is the way I figure it. But she will not accept it. But now he will get a couple of years at least.
Sure he will.
You know, maybe it is better this way. He goes to the clink, but he does not get rubbed out by Shotgun Sam.
Yeah. Yeah, but there is something I do not understand.
What?
Why is it that Muriel does not take the reward money?
Dogs are very funny people sometimes, Broadway. They are very funny people. She says she will wait for him, and they will start all over again.
Yep, like you say, dolls are very funny people. But, Charlie, there is something even funnier.
Yeah? What is that?
I am not able to figure out why Dan is still alive and why Shotgun Sam is not watching your place here last night. Or haven't it watched? Like I say, it is hard to figure that out. Anyway, Dan goes to the pen, but he gets a light sentence because he says he is going straight, and besides, he gives himself up. He gets out and marries Miss Muriel O'Neill, and the last I hear, they are living happily. Well, it is a year later that I am once again sitting in Mindy's. It is again Christmas Eve. I look up from my blintzes, and whom do I see but Shotgun Sam? And he is looking at me with a funny look. He comes over and sits down, and the scene is as follows.
Hello, Broadway.
Hello, Shotgun.
It is just about a year since I saw you last, is it not?
Almost exactly.
Mm-hmm. Christmas Eve, last year.
Oh, no, you do not see me last Christmas Eve.
I see you come out of Good Time Charlie's. I get a tip that Dancing Dan is headed for there. I get there just as Ookie is going in.
Ah, Ookie.
Yeah. I wait, and then I see you come out with Ookie. I must get a bad steer because Dancing Dan never goes in nor comes out.
It must be a bad steer you get. Well, I guess I will go now.
Mm-hmm. So long.
So long. Oh, and Merry Christmas, Shotgun.
And so ends the famous Damon Runyon story, Dancing Dan's Christmas. The Damon Runyon Theater, with John Brown as Broadway, is directed by Richard Sandville, and the story is adapted for radio by Russell Hughes. Vern Karstensen is in charge of production. This is a Mayfair production.
And that's the Damon Runyon Theater from December 18, 1948. Dancing Dan's Christmas, starring John Brown on that great, great Christmas show with Frank Gallup doing the announcing. That was produced by Mayfair Productions, which was Alan Ladd's radio production company. He also produced the series Box 13.